This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy's out. Ryan and Brad are in.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
What do you think? Pretty good?
It's something.
You're supposed to be encouraging.
Woo! Good job. I appreciate your creativity.
Thank you very much. Yeah. It's great,
it's
isn't
refreshing.
It? Trisha is in the studio.
Hey, everybody.
Ethan is too. It's a very, very full studio because it's 2 o'clock hour. And we are going to do a little bit that we do on my weekend show sometimes. We're kind of integrating this into the Annie Fry Show called Serious Questions. Now, if you're not familiar with Serious Questions, it sounds a little bit like this.
Serious Question.
And that's it. We have the sounder because we all bring a different story to the table. And this is real news that's happening. And then we ask a
serious question
about that story. Trisha is a veteran at this because she's on the Wiggins America show very frequently.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, I guess, for the first time. Yeah.
In like 6 months. I,
very frequently. Not at all.
All
very
the
frequently.
Time.
She doesn't want to be associated with the show.
Once per quarter.
Once per year this year.
So far, it's been once.
It's just a train wreck. Let it start to the same.
It was last week.
I'm sorry. I should be yes anding you. You're doing a great job.
No,
yes
no.
And.
No. I do want more praise for the open. I'm very proud. Me and Brad. We feel like
really
we want to high five. Every
meeting
time.
Of the minds and
yes and
yes and Annie will be back tomorrow.
I'm
folks.
Projecting onto Brad.
Are you going to play it for Annie tomorrow?
What's that?
The intro, just for her to have heard it.
What's that?
Was that a
serious question?
No, it wasn't. This was before the segment starts.
No, we're not going to tell Annie that exists.
Okay, got it. Good to know.
We want to keep
Chat,
playing it.
You hear that now? No sharing any of that info.
All right, Trisha is our special guest. So why don't you start with your first
serious question.
All right, erasing bad memories could be a reality. In 2004's Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Jim Carrey's character undergoes a memory erasing procedure to forget his ex. Now, according to a neurosurgeon at Northwell Staten Island University Hospital, there are 3 cutting-edge methods that can mute or dampen traumatic memories. Patients would have a magnetic coil placed on their scalp, which sends pulses to specific areas of the brain. According to the doc, the theory, still in its early stages, is that targeting certain brain circuits can change how people access their memories.
So this is how they find out that it's a negative memory?
Yes, something to do with the way your brain reacts when these coils are associated. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. Let me ask my question.
Go ahead.
Serious question.
Serious question.
If you could erase your memories, certain ones, would you?
Ooh, man. I don't think so. I don't think I would erase memories. You got to deal with it. Because my fear would be that you'd erase the memory, but still have the feeling and not know why you have it. Like if there's some trigger that comes up every time you drive past a certain sign and that was where you lost a loved one or something, you erase the memory and you drive past the sign and you go, oh man, I get really sad every time I see that Burger King.
Why do I feel that way?
Why would you feel that or have that if you don't have any recollection?
I guess, thank you for that very good.
Serious question.
Because, Ethan gets it.
Because what you're asking is, are you more than just the sum of your thoughts? Because I'm saying this stuff affects your emotions and your soul in a way that's beyond just your thoughts. So you lose the thought, but then you don't lose the reaction to the thought.
Well, and then the other thing is, too, you remember reacting negatively to that sign, but then you won't remember why you reacted negatively to that sign because the memory that you associate with the sign has been removed, but not the emotion that you've associated with the sign.
Sounded like a tough lot sign. Of words.
Is it possible we've all undergone this at some point, and that's why we have deja vu?
That we've all undergone this procedure.
Yep, we've all had
that this procedure exists and has for
has
years.
For years.
But they erase the memory of you getting it done?
Yep.
All I see.
The answer is yes.
All that I see in my mind when this happens is like when they wipe
you see
out.
Nothing.
When they wipe. When they
you
wipe
feel
out
something though, because of your
like,
soul.
When they wipe out the Winter Soldier's memory, right, in Captain America or in Stranger Things, right, they like basically fry their brains, like electrocute their brains. That's all I see here is it going wrong.
What if, Trisha, what if the person really is sadistic and loves their trauma? Would they be able to target that?
So could they? Well, they might be able to target the happy memories.
But that's what I'm saying.
So then you only have bad memories.
Well, but that I think what I'm saying is if you're trying to get rid of bad memories, but you're also a sadist, then all of a sudden they go after your bad memories and you're like, but you like all these, so we got nothing to do.
Serious question.
Did that answer it? Did you get the proper answer?
I got it. Yep.
Brad, you want to go next?
Sure. Monsters under the bed. All right. So a babysitter looked under the bed to reassure a worried child that there wasn't a monster hiding under there, because who hasn't been a babysitter and the child says, hey, there's monsters under my bed.
I have not been a babysitter.
Me neither. Anyway, and they came face to face with a man who wasn't supposed to be there.
There's a guy?
It was a guy under the kid's bed, and that's what the monster was that the kid was afraid of. So this this was in Kansas,
well,
too.
Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
At least it was in Kansas.
So the 27-year-old man was booked
into... Ain't no monsters in Missouri or Southern Illinois.
27-year-old man was booked into jail a week after struggling with the babysitter that knocked... They got into a fight and it knocked the kid to the ground. And so the sheriff's office said that the deputies were called late Monday to a home near Great Bend, which is in Kansas on the west side of the state. And the suspect was gone when they arrived. So, serious question.
Serious question.
Are you guys afraid of the dark?
I am.
Are you?
Yeah.
I realized the other day that I'm not anymore.
Oh, I hate it.
I was walking around the basement. There's no lights. And I stepped on something. I was like, dang it. I hate the dark. Oh, wait. No, I'm not even afraid anymore.
What if it would have been a mouse?
I yelled at it. I'm not afraid anymore.
Or that raccoon.
Do you hear me? I'm not afraid
I'm
anymore.
I'm not afraid.
I yell into the dark a lot, though.
You do?
Yeah, like right now.
What kind of?
Nobody's listening.
Jeez, that was really,
really
deep.
Nobody is.
That was really deep.
Not even sure we're on anymore.
I'm the only one to answer the question.
Yeah.
I answered it.
Yeah, you did, but.
But I don't count.
You don't count as a person.
You got to ask the question again.
Are you afraid of the dark?
Oh, no. The only time that I get a little bit nervous in the dark is if I just watched a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's the only time.
I'll give you that.
I'm like, I'm going to walk to my room a little quicker.
I'll tell you what. You guys have never been alone in the woods at night. I have.
You're
afraid of the dark.
Yeah, that was 2018.
Yeah, I was gonna say I have also.
All year.
The thing about like Ryan described being in his basement, not you know, it's a familiar area. So if it's familiar to me, I'm not afraid of that. But man, I've got intrusive thoughts that creep up when I'm out, like in an unfamiliar spot. If it's dark, especially like if you're in one of those. Like, I don't know how many times you guys go and you're just exploring stuff and it's like, this is like old and haunted and there's nothing here.
You're like, I'm going to go explore the old cabin way right, out there. It's right. Almost dusk, so I think I'll be okay.
I grew up playing in the woods and that stuff still makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. So as much as I'd like to say, no, I'm not afraid of the dark. Yeah, I there are times when I'm like,
I always
want to get
rationalize
out of here.
Myself out of it. Because I kid you not.
It's the exact opposite for
I
me.
That's what fear is you're not rational. But I think... How hard would it be for somebody to break into my house? Then why would they hide in my furnace room waiting for what?
How hard would it be for somebody to break into your house and hide under a bed?
Well, it wouldn't be that hard, I guess.
And it happens because that's what that story says.
It did happen. The only time I get afraid of the dark is when I'm walking through like my basement again and there's no lights in my basement or I haven't turned anything on and I look over in like the darkest corner and something just starts laughing.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that scares
me. It's the worst.
And I just usually get out of there pretty quick.
Okay.
Serious question.
That might be a different segment for a different day. Mm-hmm.
And then when you see the eyes, just the white, mm-hmm. you're like, that's not right.
Well, I don't have a cat.
Well, it was.
I'm not afraid anymore.
Ethan, you want to go?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So there is a trending story right now involving sports. Surprise, surprise that I bring it up. Yesterday, during the Atlanta Braves-Toronto Blue Jays game, the Braves sideline reporter, his name's Wiley Ballard, was drawing a little
Fake.
Bit of okay, was drawing a little bit of criticism after he did a hit where he was just straight up interviewing these two attractive girls that's somewhere in the ballpark.
Oh yeah,
and the whole thing became, can he get their numbers? So he has the inner piece, and the broadcasters are saying to him, you have four innings to get their number. And he's interviewing these girls, but he starts kind of, you know, hitting on them a little
bit. He's hitting them on live TV?
On live TV.
Because I saw the report, but I didn't see the actual video.
So he literally says, he's like, hey, they're telling me right now that, like, I need you need to give me your number.
So, are the broadcasters saying it to him
yes.
on TV?
On TV. And she ends up pulling her phone out and giving him her number. And he stays there, I guess. I don't know how long he stayed there, but they went back to it a couple of times later in that inning, and he's still just shooting the ball with these two girls, and you see he could tell when they're laughing, when they're looking, because they just start randomly laughing. So he kind of looks at, like, he knows where the camera is. He'll look a couple of times to, like, wink at the camera and stuff, like, mid-conversation with these girls. But this is drawing some heat, because some fans are saying that this was unprofessional, that this shouldn't be done
on
TV during a professional sporting event. And then there's some people, I think you could summarize them as like the Barstool Sports crowd probably, is saying like, this is the best thing ever. This is amazing. I saw a video last night calling this game, which I believe the Braves absolutely dominated. They called it the Wiley Ballard game. So my serious question.
Oh, hang on.
Serious question.
Nice, thank you for that. Is it professional to hit on girls during a pro sports broadcast?
Dude, that's more than professional. That is using your position yeah. for the best reasons possible.
Yeah, it's leveraging your advantages.
I want to hear what Trisha says.
Yeah,
counter question.
Serious question.
Thank you. Are those girls getting duped in any sort of way because of this? Because they're kind of running a very
duped,
very public con on them. Like, are the girls aware that?
Or are they running the con on him?
I don't know.
But are you saying? You're saying
my guess, not having seen the footage, is that I think this was hilarious. But I'm wondering if there's a counterculture here that says, "Eh, this is kind of crummy." If she gives her number, does that make her look a certain way? And if they don't, are they going to get pressure? Like, are the girls supposed to? So when you're a woman, you have to kind of also play the other game, where if you give your number in this situation, do you look like you're too easy to get the number? And is it on this big stage?
Yeah. But isn't that kind of, you're running cover for yourself, because you're like, look, this was on TV. This was a guy who clearly has a nice job. He's respected. People know him. Why wouldn't I give this guy my number?
But aren't you kind of getting never been kissed there or whatever?
What does that mean?
She's all that, where you're kind of not, he's not really getting your number because he wants your number. He's getting it because his buddies are like, let's pull a prank.
But what happens if he, like, I guess that all depends on if he goes on the date.
On
with
the motive. Yeah.
Couldn't she just have not participated? Like, she didn't have to do that.
100%. She could have not participated. And is she going to get judgment from one crowd for not participating, because everybody's like, yeah, go get them. But then everybody else is like, these guys are messing with you, and that's kind of crummy. You know what I mean? Like, is she in a lose-lose because
of
this?
Well, this is why I wanted to know your opinion, because there legitimately are times that I've, as an adult now and married and been past that stage, that I've seen, you know, people trying to hit, like, guys usually trying to hit on girls, and thought for the first time ever, oh, I'd hate to be that girl. Mm-hmm. Because when I was that age, I was only thinking of myself as the guy. Now, as a guy who has a daughter, I'm thinking a little bit more like, oh, what would she do in that circumstance? Which is why I was like, well, what's
appropriate? And I would clarify, I don't think all women are victims for getting hit on.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Like, courtship is goes both ways, and women like attention, and men like attention, and we like to, you know, get to know each other. But I didn't know if there was a world where this could have come off as kind of icky towards the girls.
I'm curious, too, when it comes to these kinds of hits, none of them are ever, scripted is not the right word, because they are raw material, but there's no way that Wiley Ballard just went up and just out of the blue just interviewed these girls. I mean, there was definitely
he talked to them ahead of time to see if they were cool.
Hey, you guys, good with this? Mm-hmm. But this is also super unique. Perhaps it has something to do with right now. The Blue Jays. I'm not even sure. The Blue Jays are at their normal ballpark, I believe. There's a couple of different teams that are playing in minor league ballparks this year, so it's mm-hmm. making things a little bit different.
Does that change things for you? Would this be a minor league thing? If it was minors, would it be more because the reporter's not as rich?
I feel less icky about it if there's less money involved.
But this isn't even one of those minor league ballpark situations. So I don't know. I don't personally have any issues with it. I think it's good fun. I have to imagine there was some sort of communication before about, hey, we're going to interview you. Not sure what was discussed during that, right? If he's saying, hey, the broadcasters are wanting me to do this, but the Braves broadcasting crew is also infamously known for having a lot of fun. It's a fun group of guys. So it wouldn't surprise me, too, if they're like, oh, there's a couple of cute ladies. Go for it, Wiley, or something like that.
I like the old stodgy broadcasts with the old
keys. Keep going with this, Ryan.
Do one.
Here's a real one.
Serious question.
Have you ever given somebody a fake number?
Me?
The room's looking at you, Trisha, really.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We don't get asked for numbers.
Yeah,
yeah. Guys.
Yeah, one time we ran around Nashville giving out a friend of ours number. Like, I went out with a group of girls.
You ran around Nashville? The grocery store?
National, the grocery store. No, we went out on a girls trip to Nashville, and if people would ask for our number, we'd give it to another friend that we worked with at the time who was a guy, so he was just back home.
So this is a guy's number?
That's
great. I have a cold.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, this is me, Trisha. Like a guy would have to do a deeper voice.
In the serious questions voice.
Right. All right. My story is a growing number of people want to be phone free after the Masters because, you know, you had to leave your phone off of the course. Is that a new thing, by the way, Ethan?
No.
How long have they been doing that?
I don't have that answer, but I can get it really quickly for you.
Like I said, I went in 2017. I don't remember them telling us you can't take your phone. But they could have. I just don't remember that was a thing. But a lot of people are saying, you know what, walking around for several hours without a phone, I loved it. And they're saying they really don't want to go back to carrying a phone. So, serious question.
Serious question.
Do you remember the first time you ever made a phone call? Because I don't.
No.
I figured you guys didn't either. But I just wanted to ask my...
Serious question.
That's a terrible serious question.
Are you sure?
It would be one thing if phones came out when we were in our teens or
they
something.
They did.
No.
Cells.
Mm.
Yeah, we didn't
Are you
have
talking
those.
About a cell phone
No,
call?
Just a call. Mm-hmm. Just like the first time you ever called somebody.
No, I certainly don't.
You don't? Thanks for answering, honestly. Brett?
I think I was 4.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, it was my
no
grandma.
No way. What? You
yeah.
remember calling your grandma
I remember
the first
calling
time?
My grandma.
It was an event.
Well, it's weird. It's
yeah,
weird.
No way.
No, it's
There's
weird because
no way.
It's weird because I grew up. My parents had that trucking company. My mom ran it out of the house, so she was always answering the phone. So my parents told me, even from like a little age, I would always answer my play phone. And so when I was young, I was like probably like 4 years old. They was like, yeah, call grandma. Push this one and this one and this
one. On your play phone?
No. On the real phone this time. So
I can't believe somebody said yes to that. I thought for sure everybody's going to say no.
I don't believe it.
The whole plan was. Memory.
If anybody would have said yes, are you surprised that it was me?
No, I'm not.
Not at all.
The whole plan was I was going to ask that question, say no. Everybody was going to agree no, and there was going to be silence, and I was going to wrap the segment up. It was intentionally awkward.
Do you want us all to be quiet? Maybe
yeah,
start playing
if you could.
Music?
Yeah.
1933 is what AI Overview said. I don't know how that works.
That's when the Masters said you couldn't bring a phone?
Yeah.
What, you'd have to walk out with a dial-up?
That's what
AI, rotary
that's
phone?
What Google's AI Overview says.
Carrying it on your hip.
I guess if somebody did bring out like one of those old rotary dial phones, they'd be like, no, sir. That's not allowed here at the Masters.
What if it rings?
Now that's how you end a segment. Sing about you.
Annie's out, Ryan and Brad are in. This is the Manny Fry Show.
What's been, where's all your money gone, Donnie?
Taxes. It's okay. It's part of the game.
No, it's not. It's not fun.
It's not fun to what?
It's the worst part of the game.
Oh, it's what?
Taxes.
Yep, and Trump's talking about getting rid of them. So that's good. What does income tax, what does tax day look like if there's no income tax on anybody under $150,000?
I think it's different. It's a lot different because you don't care because you probably don't make $150,000.
You probably still have to file, though, right? You have to show that you made under $150,000.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just a wild thing to think about.
And you know, I don't.
There was no income tax. I always refer to back in my mind when we talk about no income tax, because in the Twilight Zone, which was in the 60s, early 60s, there's an episode where a guy gets on a train, and I think he goes to a place called Willoughby. And if you know Twilight Zone, it's there's a train conductor calling out the whole episode, Willoughby, next stop, Willoughby, over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And he gets off in this town. But he doesn't realize until about halfway through it that, oh, he's actually gone back in time. He's back in 1900 or something. Man. And so all the things that, you know, generally he's just talking to people. He's like, oh, why don't you have a phone and why don't you have a TV and stuff? But and then he finds out, oh, this is a different time period. And one of the things he says in it is, you don't have income tax. And I always loved that because it was like, oh, in the 60s, even then, they were looking back and going, wow, what a great time. Yeah.
There was a time not that long ago.
Yeah, especially then. So that would have been people that still were alive that remembered not having income tax. So it's not that we've always had it and we don't have to have it. And Trump thinks that we can get rid of it if we get enough money coming in from tariffs, which apparently we already are getting quite a bit. The NVIDIA announcement yesterday afternoon was pretty big. That's $500 billion.
Yeah, that's as much as the Apple announcement.
Yeah, it is. And moving all this tech onshore is awesome. And guess where they're going to go? They're going to go to red states. I don't mean to make that a part of the discussion, but it is a part of the discussion. They're going to go to states that have growing populations, favorable business laws.
Business laws, yep.
I would not be surprised. Missouri's moving in this direction. They're moving too slowly, but they're moving in that direction. There is an initiative to get rid of the income tax in Missouri. And I wouldn't be surprised if we eventually do. Kentucky and Mississippi, I think right now, are the two states that are poised to pass income tax legislation that effectively gets rid of their income tax too. So that's the first time since 1980 that a state's done that. It's been a long time.
Wow.
And so I love it. The movement's happening. People are actually pushing these things through. Missouri, you need to get your act together. I would tell Illinois, but I mean, whatever.
They don't care.
But hey, this is why I'm an advocate for Missouri to do it. Because if you get all the states around Illinois to do it, maybe Illinois will consider it.
They won't. They won't.
They might.
They will consider it when there is a different regime in charge. But this current regime, not a chance. They're going to do what they want, when they want, whenever they want.
So today is tax day, the deadline to file your taxes unless you got an extension. Earlier in the show, I read a few places that are doing tax deals or tax day deals. Krispy Kreme is one of them. Essentially, it's a buy one, get one free dozen donuts. Burger King, 7-Eleven, a lot of these, Shake Shack. A lot of these places, you have to sign up for their rewards program. Casey's is another one of those, but their rewards program, basically, if you buy a pizza, you'll get a credit for a free pizza. So it's not quite buy one, get one free on the spot, but you get one for later. Smoothie King is doing $3 off. Hooters is doing a percentage off. They're doing $4.15, obviously, that's tax day, appetizers and stuff like that. A couple of the ones that I didn't read earlier that I meant to mention is Sonny's Barbecue is offering a St. Louis rib dinner for just $10.99.
Dang.
Checkers and Rally's are offering sandwiches for $3. White Castle's offering 15% off. I don't know. I just thought I'd throw those out there just because it's fun. I have a friend who, it's funny because he is a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he works military still, but as a civilian now.
Yeah.
But he is a veteran, and so on both his birthday and on Veterans Day, he just stacks these things up. And he'll take his birthday off, and obviously Veterans Day that he gets off. And so he will look at lists like this, and figure out how to plan his entire day going around and getting free things here and there. And it used to be that he'd text me like his route.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do it anymore because he doesn't live as close. But he would say, okay, I'm leaving McDonald's right now, and I got my free ice cream cone. I'm headed to Panera, and then I'm going to get an oil change. Like all just, and it was the random stuff, and he would take advantage of it, and it was like a sport for him. It was fun.
It's wild.
Yeah, but you can kind of do that on a day like today. If you have the right list, you can find all those discounts and use them. I wanted to mention real quick some weird news. This is something I've been following that everybody's been following when it was headline news, but it's not a headline anymore. And so the news that's kind of making chatter, I shouldn't even say that really officials in Canada are saying this, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of chatter about it, that Canada is interested in joining the EU. Now, we know for sure that they are trying to bolster their relationship with the EU
right.
in light of our tariffs. But this is fascinating to me because everybody's saying, oh, Trump, you know, he's such an idiot. He, like the left anyway. He's being so mean to our ally, and this 51st state stuff. I mean, it's stupid. Mm-hmm. But it's really him looking at the situation and saying, this is probably your best bet. Now, it doesn't mean they'd have to actually be the 51st state, but some sort of relationship change is what he's touting. And the fact that we are putting these tariffs on them right now, and it's obviously hurting them, is a part of that discussion. But it's not the full reason why that should happen. But the fact that they're even talking about joining the EU shows that Trump is right, that they actually do need an incredibly beneficial relationship with some power greater than themselves to really exist in the way that they do, which is why I'm interested in it. And I pulled this audio. Now, I'm going to warn you right now, the audio, the video itself is really interesting, but it sounds like it's a recording of a recording. So just bear with me. Mm-hmm. You can hear it fine. It's just not super high quality audio. But I want you to listen to what this Canadian investment, this was like a video made in 2023 about Canadian investments. So obviously before all the tariff stuff, this is during Biden, and here is what it sounds like.
From 2001 up until 2014, Canada took in tens of billions of more foreign investments from the United States than vice versa. Meaning that businesses, large and small, from Walmart to your local carpenter, were much more likely to move to Canada and grow the economy than it was for a business to leave Canada for the United States. However, this changed in 2015.
Okay, did you hear that? A lot mm-hmm. changed with businesses that were looking to open in North America. A lot changed in 2015, that just said. What happened in 2015 that changed everything? Justin Trudeau mm-hmm. became the Prime Minister of Canada. Then, shortly afterwards, Donald Trump won the election here. Then, shortly afterwards, they passed USMCA, which replaced NAFTA. NAFTA was a terrible deal because it encouraged companies to move to North America, but not America, mm-hmm. which is why Mexico and Canada benefited tremendously from that, which is why Trump wanted to renegotiate it. And now he's basically renegotiating it again in favor of America again. The audio continues.
And coincidentally or not, lined up with the current Liberal government getting into power. Regardless, quickly over the next decade, Canadian businesses, investors, entrepreneurs, and professionals started taking their money out of Canada and moving it to the United States. And well, where is that number now? Well, I am hoping that you are sitting down because this number was so shocking that it inspired me to make this video. By 2022, $1 trillion in book value had left Canada for the United States and a net value of $460 billion left for the United States. That is $11,500 per person in Canada in net investment leaving Canada for the U.S. And that number for 2023 or even this year is potentially going to reach $500 trillion in net outflow of investments from Canada to the U.S. That's about $12,500 per person.
Again, that was in 2023. Mm-hmm. So their economy was already bleeding investment, essentially, to the United States. partly because of USMCA, partly because of the bad conditions that Justin Trudeau has made for businesses there. I mean, he really did. And we saw a lot of that during COVID, a lot of the pressure that he would put on businesses to comply with all of the weird COVID mandates that put, you know, our blue cities are still suffering from it. Canada is a giant blue city. I mean, they are dealing with the repercussions of bad policy from the time Justin Trudeau got in 2015 through 2020 and now way past that. So that video outlines all of the investments that's been moving out of Canada for now a decade. And now the tariffs go into effect. So Trump knows what he's talking about when he says, look, we're going to do this because you've been getting a really favorable deal from us and we're not getting anything in return. Mm. He's looking for a reciprocal economy, not just from the tariffs. So he's saying what would benefit you most is if we just completely changed our relationship. Now, he says 51st state because I think he's kind of a showman. Maybe he actually believes that. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But the reality is economically, Canada is now in a place, and it's not just because of the tariffs. This has been happening, that they really do need a change in the way that they're doing business because they've done a bad job at it. And the fact that there's chatter that they're trying to join the EU shows that they're just not big enough to live like they've been living, unfortunately. They don't have enough population. They don't have enough natural resources. They have natural resources. They don't have enough of them. You know, can't grow all the food there that we can grow here.
They don't have the economic ability to support all of the programs that they put into place either.
That's a fact. Very, very socialist type of government. Mm-hmm. They spend a lot of money. And they've been propped up by very favorable relationships with us. I mean, they have no national defense. Mm-hmm. We are their national defense. And we're saying that can't continue. And they're realizing that and going, well, we need somebody to be our national defense. Mm-hmm. The problem is all the trade that they're trying to do with the EU and the defense that they would get from the EU is more expensive because it's just farther away. So all the trade just takes longer. It's harder. And there's a lot more details because the EU is one entity, but every country is its own. And so there's a lot more that you have to work out there. It's not the easiest thing in the world, which is why I'm explaining why I think this is where Trump's mind has been. I could be wrong, but that's to me what the evidence shows, that he's not really far off here in suggesting that Canada should become a different, I'll just say, different relationship with the United States. And if you don't believe me, the Canadian politicians, they're in the middle of election season. Mm-hmm. Justin Trudeau sat down, so they're all talking about Canadian pride and all that, and that's what they should be doing. So it doesn't sound as bad as it is. Here's the Bank of Canada last month.
Unlike the pandemic, if tariffs persist, there will be no economic bounce back. Long-lasting tariffs mean lower potential output because our economy works less efficiently.
So that's the reality of the situation that they're in. The politicians are going to say one thing, but that's the Bank of Canada making their official prediction that there will be not only no economic growth, that there's going to be a dip from which there will be no economic bounce back. That is not a rosy prediction. Just thought you'd like to know where things stand with Canada. We're not really talking about that much. Just throwing that out there. It's 2:43. This is the Annie Fry Show, but Annie will be back tomorrow. You're listening to the Manny Fry Show currently.
A river, life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze, country road.
Back to this serious question about cell phone usage. The Masters keeps you from taking your phone onto the course, which I think is very cool. I don't remember doing that in 2017 when I went, but it was just a practice round, so maybe they don't actually care for the practice rounds. But back to that question, could you actually go, how long do you think you could go without a phone?
Like I could just forget that I had a phone and go, like I could do that whole Masters thing without a phone.
But could you do it on a weekday?
On a weekday? Not doing this job, I couldn't.
I wouldn't think so.
No, I need that.
What about a weekend?
A weekend, I could probably get away
with
it.
Could you do 2 full days?
If I knew that I didn't have to prepare a show for Monday, yeah.
Because I think the question here is tough to answer because I couldn't either, but it's because of all the business I'm constantly doing and have to communicate with people and doing things. But for personal fulfillment, I don't need the phone.
Yeah.
I use it a lot for that, to like disengage, but I use it in the same way that I think dad used to come home and kick up his feet and want to read the newspaper.
Right, right.
Is I just want to read Twitter, kind of read the news, kind of get a, we're in news, but we don't get to dwell on it as much as we do present it. So then going home and reading it is a little bit of a end of the day kind of ritual for me. So that's the personal fulfillment part. But I don't think I could do it just because of that, the amount of business. Could you, Ethan? How long could you leave your phone?
I want to say that I could not. I could put it away for, if I really focused on it and I used it probably as like a fasting thing, I could probably put it away for like a couple of days. I think what I've learned just from seeing other people do it is the longer you do it, the easier it gets.
Yeah.
Right? It's because
yeah.
you adjust to like how are you filling your time. But I imagine that I would have a pretty hard time at first.
You know, we talk about technology making life so much easier, and it totally does. I'm not saying that. But it also, your time never becomes freer. The washing machine comes out. And then, you don't have to wash clothes, but then everybody knows you don't have to wash clothes. So they just tell you, you got to do some other stuff more. Like the phone, you'd think, oh, I can get so many more things done so much quicker. But then everybody's doing that same thing. And so the playing field never really changes. You're always filling that time up with something else that you thought would free up your time by doing the technological thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, you look at, even kids now, I mean, with technology now some little kids don't have like phones, but using iPads or using, you know, mom and dad's laptops for miscellaneous, just keeping like occupying time. And then you hear people saying like, you know, kids don't even play outside or do those kinds of things anymore. Just it really goes to show. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to, unless there is a serious adjustment made, and it's really has to, it's parental discipline, unless there's a change made, I think you're going to see each generation be more and more affected by technology in unhealthy ways.
I think I agree with you. And that's talking more about the entertainment side of it.
Yes.
I'm saying more just about the practical side of the way we use technology. Every time a new invention comes out, like if there was some sort of robot maid that came out, mm-hmm. that's like, oh, it'll make your bed and do all your laundry for you. You'd be like, oh, hallelujah.
Right.
But then you'd think, oh, I'm going to have all this free time now. You never do.
Right.
You never have that free time, just becomes something else.
I'm with you. Okay.
And you're expected, oh, yeah, but you have a robot made, so you can do this now.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody ever goes, oh, I'll just leave you alone.
Right.
You
it's know? Just on to the next thing. There's
exactly.
always something.
Exactly.
The list doesn't ever end up being, oh, now there's free time until it starts again. It's just, it starts again sooner.
The expectations change.
Yes.
That's just what it is.
Exactly.
Random switch to a different topic here.
Nice.
Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen the movie Escape from New York?
Not that I can think of. Escape from New York. No, 1981.
With
no, definitely not.
Snake
nope.
Pilskin.
Although that is a young Kurt Russell. Boy, he's got some wavy locks there.
Yeah, he's an attractive dude.
Yeah, he is. Never seen it.
Never seen Escape from New York. Escape from L.A.?
The probably
sequel?
Not.
If you said yes to that one and not the first one, I'd be surprised.
My favorite movie.
Oh, I didn't realize it was based on an earlier version.
Oh, and it's an even better looking Kurt Russell.
He's a little older in that one, though.
He is.
So, have you seen it, movie?
I've seen it.
Escape
yeah.
from both?
No, just the first one.
It's got a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Escape from LA. New York?
Escape from LA.
What about New York? Because L.A. was all right. I'll give it that. It wasn't amazing.
Oh, Escape from New York. It was a good rating. 86%.
It's a good movie.
That's really good for Rotten
yeah.
Tomatoes.
This really launched Russell Crowe's career. Russell Crowe.
Russell. I get them and Gerard Butler mixed up all the time, those three.
Okay.
So
you know what's weird, though, is that Kurt Russell had been in stuff since he was a kid. You can see him acting when he was even in his like teens. But he really broke through as an adult, I think, in this film. 1980s classic Escape from New York. So this is from, it's actually made national news. I got this from Yahoo, but it's a local source. I think it was KTVI, one of the locals at Fox 2. They did a story about all the places, did you know, that Escape from New York was shot in St. Louis.
I did not know.
You didn't know
that? It was shot in St. Louis?
Almost the whole movie.
That
Well, that
doesn't make much sense. I guess they're escaping New York.
Well,
they're,
if you know the movie, it kind of does.
It's sad in a way because they make New York into basically this like concrete prison hellscape.
Yeah, they
don't spoil it.
And I won't.
It's the premise of the movie.
You know what he does? You know what he tries to do from New York, though?
No. Escape?
He tries to escape.
Oh.
And guess
crap.
What happens?
You ruined it for me.
Yeah. But most of the movie was shot here, and they go through all the different locations. The main one that I've always heard about is the Chain of Rocks Bridge. Now, the Chain of Rocks Bridge is not, as far as I understand it, it depends on what you're referring to, this Chain of Rocks, because the bridge that people use to drive over, I think some people call that the Chain of Rocks,
right.
But the original Chain of Rocks Bridge still exists.
It's a footbridge now, isn't it?
It's a footbridge, and you can get to it by going to Shoto Island, and then that crosses over into North St. Louis, and it is an awesome bridge that you can ride your bike over the river, and it's beautiful, especially this time of year, to walk or ride on that bridge. I can't get my kids to do it. They love the idea, and then they get there, and they're like, actually,
that's a little rusty.
It's more my wife, actually, than the kids.
Is it one of those bridges where you can see through the deck?
I don't remember. I don't think so, but I don't remember.
Also,
we've never ridden the whole thing, so I can't tell you.
Regarding Kurt Russell, first movie, 1965, The Guns of Diablo. Mm.
He was a kid, right?
La Pistolas del Diablo.
Mm.
And yes, he is a kid.
Wait, it was called The Guns of Diablo or Las Pistolas of Diablo?
I'm seeing two titles right next to each other, like movie pictures.
So they didn't
change
Diablo.
Of the movie. Well, Diablo, yeah, correct, yes, yeah, correct.
Guns of Diablo,
Guns of Devil.
Okay. Union Station was also in the movie. I don't remember, I've watched the movie, but I don't remember seeing, you know, it's not like they show an iconic shot of Union Station. It's part of the movie.
Right.
I do remember them being underground in some of the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And thinking, oh, that kind of looks, you know, like around here, because I knew that they had shot it here when I was watching it, but I couldn't really identify a whole lot. The point of the movie isn't so that you see St. Louis scenery.
Right.
It's so that you enjoy the movie, and it's using the background as kind of a set in a way.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's interesting stuff. The article is pretty cool because it goes through all the different spots that the movie is in. But
that's
the most famous ones are Union Station and the Chain of Rocks Bridge.
Very cool.
Today's poll, will America ever have a balanced budget again? Yes or no, Ethan?
Oh, for clarification real quick, by balanced budget, do you mean that...
Not like, no national debt.
Got it.
Just
okay,
a balanced budget.
Yes, I think that this administration can do it.
What are the results of the poll?
181 votes for today's YouTube live chat poll. Will America ever have a balanced budget again? Yes, 47%. No, 53%.
Wow, so that's pretty close.
That's a lot closer than I thought it would be.
What are you, Brad?
I'm a no.
Gosh, I know.
It's really hard to see these sides coming together.
I hate to say that. I'm going to say yes. But unfortunately, if it doesn't happen in this 4 years, maybe even this 2 years, I don't think it will ever
I do agree with that.
Happen. So this is very important stuff. Congress, we know you listen. Balance the budget. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, and Annie will be back.